Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Monday, January 11th. Hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you are having a great start to your work day. Obviously, hope you had a great weekend. Weekend filled with football. Unfortunately, my Tennessee Titans were not able to take advantage of an opportunity to win their playoff game. Their season is unfortunately over, but plenty of exciting football that continues tonight, obviously with the national championship game. So whether it be football, the NBA, however you enjoyed your weekend, hope that you did. Hope that 2021 is getting off to a great start for you and your loved ones, and that you have a great start to the week. Well, one other exciting factor about the start to this week is that the Grizzlies do play tonight in Cleveland. Coming off a two-day rest, you know, one that was really needed in what's been a very, you know, busy and calendar-filled start to the season for the Grizzlies. They'll be playing their 10th game since the start of the season tonight. So far, 3-6, but a much-needed and very satisfying team win last Friday against the Nets, obviously in response to a disappointing loss to the Cavaliers on Thursday night. But thankfully, the Grizzlies get an opportunity to get a bit of revenge tonight from last Thursday night as they are in Cleveland. In the third segment, I'll preview the game, talk about some things the Grizzlies can change from last Thursday night tonight in order to give themselves a chance to win. In the second segment, I'm going to discuss the one factor that the next five games for the Grizzlies has in common and why it is so important for the Grizzlies to minimize the impact of that factor if they really want to have success, needed success, before they run into a very difficult part of the schedule coming up in late January. But in the first segment, I want to focus on the rookie combination of Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman and why the early results from this duo really highlights that, once again, our front office hit a home run on draft night in 2020. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. Find the show wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think. Whenever you do that, it allows for us to know what you would prefer to be listened to on the show. And we always want to make sure we're providing content when it relates, obviously, to our listeners' preferences. Speaking of preferences, if you want to add a healthy benefit to your day, I certainly hope that you prefer Built Bar. Adding Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, very versatile, can add a benefit to any part of your day. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. So Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman, the rookie combination that the Grizzlies, made some moves for, you know, this past draft night, back on November 18th of this year. So far, this rookie combination has absolutely made probably a better impact than many expected. They're doing exactly what was expected of them. They are have shown more than enough proof that they are meeting the expectations that the Grizzlies had for them when they drafted them. I mean, the combination of Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman, it's hard to compare it to the combination of Ja Morant and Brandon Clark, because, you know, Bane and Tillman probably don't have those type of ceilings, and they certainly are not going to be in that type of expanded role, you know, as the season progresses and the Grizzlies get their stars players back. But when it comes to Bane and Tillman, so far exceeding the expectations that many had for them and the reasons why they were drafted, I feel that that's something that you can easily compare this duo to last year's duo of Morant and Clark. And that's the big thing for them. As we mentioned before the start of the season, with the Grizzlies, you know, players out such as Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr., and unfortunately with the unexpected inclusion of Ja Morant on that list of players that are unavailable, the Grizzlies' depth was going to be tested. Their success was going to be based on how well the Grizzlies' depth was able to mesh together and really be able to perform. And that's exactly what this team has done. They've been able to mesh together. They've been able to play competitively. They've developed an identity of letting their defense, you know, produce, you know, some type of offensive consistency. But Tillman and Bane both have stepped into expanded roles and have not only performed what was expected of them, they are showing the reason why the Grizzlies preferred them. They are showing why the Grizzlies, you know, targeted them to not only be depth, but depth in needed areas for this team, but they really are stepping into roles that are making both the defense and offense more consistent. I talked a few times last week when it comes to Desmond Bane about how his shooting really adds an element to this Grizzlies offense that they've not seen in a while. If you followed, you know, a lot of folks on Grizzlies social media personalities, things like that, I've seen multiple people probably more than five people over the past 10 days, they've stated that when they see Bane shoot, they have more confidence in his shot than they have had in any Grizzly for years. That validates, I feel, when I mentioned that I felt that Desmond Bane was one of the best natural shooting talents this franchise has ever had, and it shows. He not only, he right now is tied for second in the league when it comes to among rookies when it comes to shooting the three. He's shooting one of the best three-point percentages among rookies in the league, but it's not only where he ranks with the rookies. As I mentioned last week, he already has emerged as one of the best catch-and-shoot three-point options in the league. He is among the best options when it comes to that specific part of the game in the NBA right now. He's finding a lot of success shooting above the break when it comes to his three-point attempts, and that plays right into the Grizzlies' offense. Them penetrating into the lane, getting into the paint to take their shot, and then being able to find catch-and-shoot options on the outside. There's no one right now on the Grizzlies who is, you know, allowing for his teammates to have more confidence in him than Bane. He's delivering, you know, especially with the fact that I believe now in eight of his nine games so far, he's hit multiple threes and just continues to develop as a player. So a lot of confidence not only in his shooting, but also in the fact that when he is on the court, he is going to consistently add positive value. But speaking about adding positive value, that's exactly what has stood out about Xavier Tillman. I had the pleasure of being on a Sports 56 Middays with the Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy, and they asked me about Xavier Tillman. I believe at that time Tillman had played two games, and I told Greg and Eli that the big thing that stood out to me in his first game with Xavier is the heady plays that he was making, just the overall impact that Tillman was making when he was in the game, getting rebounds, getting loose balls, making energy plays. But that's the thing about Tillman, though he has not really shown out in any way in terms of counting statistics, it's just the overall impact that he is making on both ends of the court. One avenue that he's doing this is through sequences. I mentioned it a few times on Twitter last week. Xavier Tillman seems to multiple times a game have a sequence in which on the defensive end, he makes a really impactful defensive play to lead to a defensive stop, and then it gets the Grizzlies on the run. Well, he's the one who's down the court being able to convert the defense that he played so well into offense, getting a basket, getting to the free throw line. Those sequences are all the difference in the world a lot of times for this Grizzlies team, and the more that it occurs, especially with how well they are playing on defense, the more consistent they can be on offense, which they certainly need as many contributions as possible up and down the roster. So Tillman's ability to have those type of sequences, and also the fact that he consistently makes heady plays, his efficiency, though it may not show up as much in the box score like it does with Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, it certainly is there. Of all the Grizzlies players that have played this year, when it comes to their on and off numbers, the player with the best net rating besides Ja Morant is Xavier Tillman, because he makes a lot of winning plays without making a lot of mistakes, and it certainly shows through when he's in the lineup. And that's the big thing. It's certainly been, his emergence has certainly, you know, added to the Grizzlies' depth and also allowed for them to overcome a bit of regression from Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks and the struggles of Jonas Valanciunas. But it gives, the biggest thing that the play of Bane and Tillman so far allows the Grizzlies to have confidence in is their long-term goal, their long-term picture. Whether it be later this year or into next year, the Grizzlies' goal is really to have two very versatile and very deep lineups. 10 total men in two different lineups that they not only can play as a first and second unit, but also mix and match. What that looks like is, as starters, you've got Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Justice Winslow, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jonas Valanciunas. And then in the second segment, the second lineup, you've got Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, and Xavier Tillman. The depth, the versatility, the two-way impact both offensively and defensively of that lineup, it really, really stands out. And the thing about it is this, is that, like I said, you're talking about Morant, Brooks, Justice Winslow, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jonas Valanciunas. You're talking about Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, and Xavier Tillman. That's the 10 players that the Grizzlies likely look at as potentially being in their two lineups. I didn't even mention the names Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, and Gorgui Dieng. So the whole point of mentioning that is with the, how successful this depth is performing, especially defensively right now. The expanded play that these Grizzlies are getting right now, and especially in the case of Bane and Tillman, it's going, even though their roles will be reduced once the Grizzlies get their main talents back, it's just going to allow for them to be more reliable, more consistent, and just overall effective when they're in their lineup. So the duo of Bane and Tillman, the initial results from their play in this season has certainly exceeded expectations. It's certainly been a positive impact and really will assist them in getting comfortable with their actual long-term roles that they likely have with the Grizzlies. It's unlikely that either one of these two players are going to be starters as the Grizzlies get closer to contention. But with the way that they're producing right now and the amount of time that they're playing right now, it's just going to only make them better as they become important bench cogs for this unit and really, really make them important parts of what should be advantageous stuff for the Grizzlies now and going forward. So just great early starts for both Bane and Tillman have really allowed for the Grizzlies to gain more needed consistency on both defense and offense, and that really is not only a good sign for now, but certainly is the good sign as this season progresses and as we get close to the future, and Bane and Tillman are certainly becoming very clear parts of our core for our future. But another thing that's very clear is that there's one common factor that the Grizzlies' opponents share over their next 5 games. Coming up in the second segment, I'll talk about how that factor needs to be a focus for the Grizzlies, and if they can minimize its impact, it really will allow for them to have success over this crucial 5-game stretch. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. For much of 2020, you heard me talk about the great product that is Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the extra addition to your day that not only could add a health benefit, but also a tasty snack. It's very versatile. You could have it in the morning for breakfast. You can have it in the afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout, whenever you choose to listen to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network. Built Bar is a great addition to your day. And the great thing about it is that it's become an even more versatile product going forward. It used to have 12 great flavors that you could choose from. Well, now it's got 18. And the thing is that if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you not only get to have expanded flavors to choose from, but if you put in the promo code Locked On, you get 20% off your next order. And while supplies last, you get a free cooler. And I can also tell you this, whenever you go and add Built Bar to your daily routine, I can tell you with confidence it'll be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com. You now have 18 instead of 12 flavors to choose from. Plus, if you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order as well as for a free cooler while supplies last. Again, visit BuiltBar.com today. Put in the promo code Locked On. Get 20% off your next order of Built Bar. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. So we talked about in the first segment how the rookie combination of Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman are exceeding expectations. They are certainly seeing that their overall talents are translating well to the NBA, and that they're not only are they showing why the Grizzlies felt they would check many boxes when it comes to depth and you know, strengthening areas of need, but that they really can step in either in starting roles, or excuse me, not in starting roles, but in expanded minutes, and really contribute in multiple ways to allow the Grizzlies to be more consistent, you know, even with their best talents off the court. But speaking of best talents, that is something that is certainly going to be a focus of the Grizzlies when it comes to their next 5 games, as some of the best talents they'll be facing on the teams they'll be facing will be at the center position. And of course, I'm talking about the game tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 2 games coming up with the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota, following that, the game against the Philadelphia 76ers, and obviously as well, the Martin Luther King Jr. game against DeAndre Ayton. Among those 5 games, the Grizzlies will be facing talents such as Andre Drummond. They'll be facing Karl Anthony Towns, a very, very deserving early season MVP candidate in Joel Embiid, and of course for the Suns, DeAndre Ayton. And the reason why I bring this up is because the Grizzlies' ability to limit the production of these players are going to go a long way in determining just how successful Memphis will be over the next 5 games. And that's why it's so crucial that the Grizzlies were able to get Jonas Valanciunas back from his unexpected absence on Friday night. Now, As we mentioned last week, Jonas Valanciunas has certainly struggled to begin this year. There's no doubt about that. He has not been able to find his groove as of yet. However, his presence in and of itself is still very important. One area that he has improved a bit in is certainly been the ability to be impactful when it comes to rebounding, but also when it comes to rim protection. I mean, he's not, you know, just absolutely, you know, producing the best block rates of his career or anything such as that, but his overall presence has been a contributing factor and made an impact to make the Grizzlies' defense overall better. Obviously, we've discussed that the secret of the Grizzlies' defensive success so far this season has been how well they played on the perimeter when it comes to defense. But Valanciunas certainly has played well at the rim. For instance, when it comes to the Grizzlies, they right now rank in the top 10 of the lowest opponent field goal percentage within 5 feet of the basket in the NBA. Of course, Jonas Valanciunas plays a big part in that. Obviously, last week we also discussed how the supporting cast of Brandon Clark and Gorgui Dieng and Xavier Tillman really have stepped up for Memphis. And the big thing about it is that, you know, with Brandon Clark reemerging, you know, now on offense, and as good as Dieng has been on offense, the ability for the Grizzlies to play Tillman with Dieng, or Tillman with Clark, or Clark with Valanciunas, that ability gives the Grizzlies needed depth, needed size on the court, and it's really allowed for them to have initial success against teams who play with size. You know, you saw how well they matched up against the Lakers. You saw the difference that it made against the Hornets. You saw, even though they did lose the game last Thursday, the ability for the Grizzlies to match up with Nance and Drummond did help out at times, and of course it did shine through again on Friday night, even when Valanciunas was out for the second half. So it's not just that the Grizzlies, you know, have that depth. It's the fact that that depth is adding value on both ends of the court, and that certainly is going to have to continue. Now, the big thing for the Grizzlies, you know, tonight and, you know, the rest of this, or the next two games against Minnesota, is that the one thing that the Grizzlies are going to be able to do is feature their front court depth when those talents, Drummond and Karl-Anthony Towns, are not on the court. Because when they're not on the court, the Grizzlies' front court depth really can shine through and really can gain an advantage to allow the Grizzlies to either stay in the game, pull ahead, or maintain a lead. But on offense, when these talents are in place, the Grizzlies are going to have to put a very big focus on limiting their production. You know, we talked about the fact that Drummond had 22 points and 15 rebounds for Cleveland on Thursday night. Karl-Anthony Towns obviously is one of the best producers in the league. So is Embiid. And Ayton is as much of a double-double, you know, guarantee as Valanciunas is. So the Grizzlies' ability to continue to play to the strengths of their defense and to be able to limit the looks of these players are going to be very, very important. But it's not only their looks when it comes to these centers. It also is the Grizzlies' ability to prevent offensive rebounds, because that is a strength of all four of those players, of Drummond, Karl-Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, and DeAndre Ayton. The Grizzlies, as I mentioned on Friday night, a big thing that really worked out for Memphis was that they had 8 more offensive rebounds. The Grizzlies are regularly getting more offensive rebounds than their opponent. But they're going to have to continue to do that, because the secret to their success is going to have to be out shooting in terms of shot attempts. They're going to have to continue to have more shot attempts than their opponents because of the Grizzlies' natural limitations when it comes to the roster they have available right now. That's going to become harder to do if the Grizzlies let any of these four talents at center over the next few games have a good offensive night when it comes to second chance points, putbacks, and things like that. So on defense, in terms of the Grizzlies playing defense against these talents, it's not only contested their shots, it's really limiting their ability to get offensive rebounds. And if the Grizzlies can do that on a consistent basis, if the Grizzlies' front court depth can allow for them to consistently win the offensive rebounding battle, that's a huge step towards them getting multiple wins over this stretch. When it comes to the Grizzlies on offense versus these defensive players, it's just remaining consistent. It's doing what is working. One thing that we're seeing success from when it comes to Dieng and Tillman and Clark is that they are having good success when it comes to being out on the perimeter. If the shot's not there, their passing is setting up some consistency with the offense. We saw Clark over the past two games really have some success. He hit an initial three or two, and then when he got the ball on the outside to potentially take a shot again, the defense closed out on him, but he was able to dribble around, get into the lane, and find a good shot. There was a really good consistency with that, especially against the Nets. Gorgui Dieng did the same thing late in the fourth quarter that led to an and-one opportunity. So it's on offense, it's them simply playing within the offensive schemes and really being able to make a key difference. Even if the three's not there, just contributing in multiple ways on offense. So the Grizzlies' front court depth is going to be a huge, huge factor for their success. And as I mentioned, if the Grizzlies have the playoff aspirations in place that we all know that they do, they really need to go into over this five-game stretch and go at least 3-2. That includes a win tonight. It includes splitting with Minnesota and hopefully splitting between Philadelphia and the Suns. If the Grizzlies can emerge from this stretch being 3-2, and even 2-3 wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but if the Grizzlies can get multiple wins over this stretch, and then as they get later into January, and hopefully get some of their better players back, you have to count that as a success. And that certainly at least gives them an outside shot, a small shot, to really get going, to really find, you know, a stretch in which they can, you know, make up for the fact that they're starting under 500 due to their lack of talent. In the near future, if the Grizzlies can find multiple wins over the next five games, you can count that as a success, and that at least is a bit of a boost for when they have a tougher schedule coming up at the end of January when their stars get back. So that's the big factor that these next five games share. It's the fact that these opponents all have very talented all-star level type centers post players at the center position. How well the Grizzlies prevent them from getting offensive rebounds, how well the Grizzlies contest their shot, and how well the Grizzlies play to the strengths of their offensive scheme against these talents when the Grizzlies have the ball, those things are going to really, you know, amplify the Grizzlies' ability to win if they can do multiple things successfully out of those options. So it's going to be really fun to see. It's always fun to see how the Grizzlies do against some of the better players in the league. They've had some initial success with how well they played against the Nets bigs and the Lakers bigs this past week. Hopefully that trend will continue and the Grizzlies will be able to get multiple victories over the next week. But that begins tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, last time we played, arguably one of the worst losses since Taylor Jenkins took over being a head coach. In what ways could the Grizzlies potentially get revenge tonight, and do they have an opportunity to get another road victory to start off a three-game road trip before they come back to Memphis? Coming up, I'll highlight a few things about the game tonight against Cleveland that really need to stand out and really need to go in the Grizzlies' favor for them to be able to pull out the win. If you're a college football fan, while it has been a wild ride for both positive and negative reasons this year, the time has finally arrived in which the national championship game between Ohio State and Alabama is tonight. And that's a great time for you to be able to not only enjoy the great football action, but also profit a little bit. The NFL playoffs, we completed the first weekend, and while some fan bases were happy and some fan bases are not, we're down to the final eight teams, you know, in the three more rounds of games in the NFL playoffs. Instead of just watching the game and enjoying great football, why not find ways to profit? And we could tell you the one place that you can go to really enjoy that, and the one place that you can rely on when it comes to making a profit if you bet on sports, and that's betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Coming up on Wednesday of this week, obviously the Grizzlies, after they face the Cavaliers tonight, they will be on the road, and for the second time in less than a month, nearly a month ago, the Grizzlies will be visiting the great state of Minnesota and Minneapolis for a back-to-back game against the Timberwolves. Now, obviously, they had good success in the preseason, but this Timberwolves team has started off, you know, well in terms of the talents that are, you know, with their depth shining through as well in the absence of Karl-Anthony Towns. But in anticipation of this back-to-back matchup, I will have Ben Beacon on with me, host of Locked On Wolves for a crossover podcast, previewing a very crucial back-to-back early season series for both of these teams. Though both teams are not having initial success when it comes to the win and loss columns, there's been a lot of positivity, and it could be a big time for a step forward if either team can have good success in this back-to-back series. So coming up on Wednesday, we'll be doing a crossover show with Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves, previewing the Grizzlies and Wolves back-to-back duo of games later this week. But of course, before we get to that, it would be great to head into Minnesota after having earned another needed victory in Cleveland, and that obviously is the hope for tonight. The Grizzlies traveling to Cleveland, their 10th game of the season, coming off a needed victory on Friday night. But the reason why it was needed was obviously because the Grizzlies had, you know, just a lackluster performance on Thursday night. And, you know, as I mentioned over at Grizzly Bear Blues in my game preview, I mentioned that when it came to that game against Cleveland, it was arguably the most winnable game that the Grizzlies have had this season, or that they will have besides tonight going forward. And they just absolutely, despite having very satisfying performances against the Hornets and a back-to-back game against the Lakers, the Grizzlies just laid a dud. There was not good effort, there was not good consistency, and just what they needed to do to win, they did not do. Cleveland did, and they wound up pulling out the victory. Well, tonight, the Grizzlies, you know what they need to do in order to get the victory, and they know that coming off Friday, they're going to have to get that same effort, and there's going to be no excuse not to put that effort in play from the fact that they've had a two-day weekend. Obviously, having Jonas Valanciunas is going to be critical to the Grizzlies' success, but specifically in this game, one thing that the Grizzlies are going to have to do, they're going to have to win the turnover battle. That is correct. That's really where the Grizzlies are going to have to really make the difference. As I mentioned from Friday, the big thing that allowed for the Grizzlies to win was the fact that they had 17 more shots than the Nets did that night. That came from the Grizzlies having made the Nets have 7 more turnovers than the Grizzlies. That came from the Grizzlies having 8 more offensive rebounds, as well as areas of effort. Really, where the Grizzlies are going to have to win this game is they're going to have to win the turnover battle, they're going to have to commit fewer fouls, and they're going to have to get offensive rebounds. If the Grizzlies can have a net positive outcome, if they basically can win those categories against the Cavaliers, that will be a significant step towards them getting a victory. But it's not going to be easy. The Grizzlies right now are second in the league in deflections, and they're second in the league when it comes to steals per game. The team that's first is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we saw that on Thursday night, especially in the form of Larry Nance, who's leading the league in deflection and also leading the league in steals. The Grizzlies are going to have to be very cautious with how they pass the ball, especially with Nance around, because like we've talked about with the Grizzlies liking to use their defense to turn it into offense, that's something that the Cavaliers have found a lot of success doing, especially when Larry Nance is on the court. So it's taking care of the ball. It's also limiting fouls. Both the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Grizzlies are in the top 10 of the league in terms of fewest fouls committed. So the Grizzlies are going, especially with the fact that the Grizzlies are not getting to the line hardly at all right now with their current options that they have in place, they're going to have to prevent Cleveland from getting to the line, especially late in the game. And of course, offensive rebounds. Even though Cleveland may not be that good at offensive rebounds, they still have Andre Drummond and Larry Nance, who are both very, very good at getting offensive rebounds and putbacks. If the Grizzlies can limit Cleveland's ability to get those second chance looks, it really, really is going to be a good step in the right direction. So overall, it just comes back to what we have discussed a few times already this season. It's the Grizzlies' ability to gain extra possessions while limiting the good looks for their opposition. If the Grizzlies can find success doing that, they're going to have a lot of success. But beyond the ability to win the turnover battle, limit fouls, and get more offensive rebounds, another huge key tonight for Memphis is guarding the three-point line. Cleveland is arguably one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. They're second to last in 3 points made and 3 points attempts in the league, and they also are 24th in the league when it comes to actually hitting three-pointers. This is a team that does very well inside the arc. They are not good at all outside of the arc, but that doesn't mean that you leave them wide open. The other big key in the game against Cleveland on Thursday night was Seti Osman hitting 4 shots, especially early in the game, hitting 4 threes, and then Larry Nance, every time the Grizzlies would either get a lead or it would be tied, he would sit there and hit a big 3 at the end. At the end of the day, you have a team who is arguably the worst 3-point shooting team in the league without their two best shooters in Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, they have Larry Nance and Ceddie Osman allowing for Cleveland to go 13 for 30 from three. The Grizzlies cannot let a team that normally is 9 of 27 from beyond the arc have a night where they go 13 of 30 from three. That is going to be a big focus for the Grizzlies as well. So it's not only just Andre Drummond, who was a difference maker for the Grizzlies or for Cleveland on Thursday night against Memphis. It's Grizzlies playing with more effort, it's playing with more execution, and it's defending the three. And finally, the big thing for Memphis is this. The big, huge difference also between Thursday night and Friday night, besides the Grizzlies putting themselves in a chance to win both nights. Thursday night, we looked at a sink. We didn't look like we had a clue at all offensively late in the fourth quarter. It was basically Tyus Jones or Dylan Brooks trying to create plays without a lot of help from the rest of the players on the court. Very little movement, very little intent with what they were doing. Come Friday night, Gorgui Dieng made big plays. Brandon Clark made big plays. Everybody seemed to have intent with what they were doing. Off the ball movement, ball handling, passing, setting up screens. The Grizzlies have got to play with intent on offense, especially late in the game. If the Cleveland Cavaliers were to have Colin Sexton available tonight, that is going to be a huge development for them. It's going to be similar to what the Grizzlies experienced on Friday night, in which arguably the best talent on the court is on the other team, and he potentially, especially with being out for a few games now, he potentially will have some type of offensive surge in him like we saw from Caris LeVert in the third quarter on Friday night. To combat that, the Grizzlies not only are going to have contributions up and down their roster, but they're going to have to be effective in the fourth quarter. So fourth quarter offense, playing with energy and execution, and limiting the open shots for the Cavaliers from three, those are going to be three big points for the Grizzlies tonight. And if they can do those things, they should be able to win this game. This is one of the games in which the Grizzlies arguably are the better talented team in this game. There's nothing against Cleveland. It's just simply where both teams are in terms of their rosters. So if the Grizzlies simply play to their strengths and play consistently to the abilities that we know we all have and what we've seen them do multiple times, they should be in a good position to win this game. Hopefully they will, and hopefully we'll have some positive things to talk about tomorrow when we once again join you. Tomorrow we'll obviously have a review of the Grizzlies game against the Cavaliers. We'll also look at what lineups for the Grizzlies are really standing out so far this season and why they are standing out and why Taylor Jenkins, you know, potentially goes to a few lineups in certain situations during the game. We'll have that tomorrow. And of course, again, we'll have for you on Wednesday a crossover episode with Locked On Wolves host Ben Beacon talking about the Grizzlies' upcoming duo of games against the Timberwolves. But we'll talk about that then. For now, hope that you have a great day. Hope that you have a great start to your week, and hopefully the Grizzlies will add to that with a needed victory tonight against the Cavaliers. Until next time, my name is Sean Coleman. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.